This is a Squiz podcast. We're your shortcut to being informed.
This week's podcast is brought to you by BHP. Copper is a big deal in the energy transition because it's used to make electric vehicles, wind turbines, and solar panels. When it comes to producing copper responsibly, it's happening now at BHP. Good morning, I'm Alice Dempster.
And I'm Claire Kimball.
It's Monday, the 3rd of April. In your Squiz today, Labor takes Aston, Russia's new security role, a frantic F1 finish, and some very sad houseplants. This is your Squiz today. History was made in Melbourne's eastern suburbs over the weekend, Claire. We talked about the Aston by-election on Friday, and it all went down on Saturday. Voters turfed out the Liberals. Their candidate was Roisin Campbell, and they chose Labor's Mary Doyle to take the seat. She won it with a 6.3% swing, and the reason I say it was historic is because the last time the government won a seat held by the opposition in a by-election was way back in 1920.
And the other reason it's notable is that it means that Prime Minister Anthony Albanese now has a whopping two-seat majority in the House of Representatives. It takes the coalition back to 57 seats in that 151-seat chamber. As you might imagine, it's led to a lot of finger-pointing about what went wrong for the Liberals. The Nationals leader, David Littleproud, was out and about. He says that Labor's campaign stooped to a level that Australian politics shouldn't. He said that there was personal character assassination of the coalition leader, Peter Dutton, on the ground in that campaign. He also said that the Liberals erred by choosing a candidate who wasn't from the electorate, and he accused the Victorian branch of the Liberal Party of doing everything he said to trash their own brand. He was referring to some pretty nasty infighting that happened during the last fortnight of the campaign at the state Liberal level.
Yeah, but state party leader John Pesutto has rejected that. And Albanese has his own theory, Claire. He says the result is a sign that the electorate isn't a fan of Dutton's approach. The PM says that Dutton just says no to everything and isn't part of solutions, and also that he's become an observer of Australian politics rather than a participant.
So there's a couple of things out of this for the Liberals. The result has restarted talk that really sparked up after the general election loss last year about what the Liberals stand for and how they're going to boost their support. The Liberals are struggling in the cities, which is, of course, their traditional territory. But these days, the Liberals hold 14 urban electorates. It's only 8 if you exclude those that don't contain any semi-rural areas. And there's also a spotlight on Dutton as leader. And yesterday, former Liberal staffer and commentator Nikki Sava said that depending on where the party lands after the Voice referendum later this year, which the Liberals haven't declared a position on yet, that Dutton could find himself at the centre of a leadership spill.
And for his part, Dutton took responsibility for the loss in Aston yesterday, but he said the fundamentals of the party won't change. He also brushed off suggestions that his leadership is under review. He says the result makes him more determined to rebuild the party so that it's in a winning position by 2025. Claire, Russia's started a month-long UN Security Council presidency role. It was expected because the council has 15 member countries who rotate through the presidency on a monthly basis, but many members are unhappy given there's been calls to ban Russia from the role while it continues its war in Ukraine.
And it's the first time that Russia's held the presidency since it last did it back in February 2022, which was the month that it invaded Ukraine. I will and truly remember how awkward that all was. Officials say that it's been a symbolic blow for them to retake the presidency of that body. That's probably because the Security Council is the major body in the United Nations that's responsible for ensuring international peace and stability. They also called it the world's worst April Fool's Day joke. It's raised, again, questions about whether Russia can be kicked out of the council.
Ukraine's foreign minister has called for that. He says the current setup is a stark reminder that something is wrong with the way international security architecture functions. For his part, Russia's UN ambassador says that in the role, he'll oversee a debate on arms control and also will discuss a new world order. It's the biggest story in US politics for a while, Claire. Unless you've been in a news no-fly zone, you've probably heard that former US President Donald Trump has been indicted in New York. And it's set to be a big few days in the Big Apple as he gets ready to hand himself into police on Tuesday their time.
Unprecedented is a word that gets thrown around a lot, particularly when it comes to Donald Trump. But this is yet again another unprecedented event in his very eventful political career. We don't know the exact charges yet, but reports say that prosecutors in New York are pursuing him over fraud, campaign finance violations, and obstruction of justice over hush money that was paid to adult film star Stormy Daniels. And experts say that it's likely to be a tough case to prove, but Trump could face up to 25 years in prison if he's convicted.
Trump says that he will fight the charges in court. And all of this didn't seem to interrupt his weekend plans, Claire. He played golf at his Mar-a-Lago resort in Florida and also hosted a dinner party with advisors working on his 2024 presidential election campaign. The Formula One Grand Prix came to a thrilling end yesterday in Melbourne, Claire. Four drivers dropped out of the big race just before the final two laps of the 58-lap circuit.
Yeah, and then things got really crazy. There was a safety restart that sent drivers jostling for points into each other and into the wall. And that saw another four drivers consigned to the did-not-finish pile. And in the end, the safety car led Max Verstappen, who's the two times world champion, to a victory for Red Bull. He came in ahead of longtime rival Lewis Hamilton and his Mercedes car. So it was a really long day, but the crowd certainly got their money's worth. It was a result that Hamilton called pretty mega.
And hometown hero Oscar Piastri, who drives for McLaren, scored his first championship points. He came in eighth after starting in 16th place. It was just his third F1 race, so it's not a bad effort at all. This week, our podcast is brought to you by Aware Super. Superannuation can sometimes feel like just another overwhelming life admin chore. But as a member of Aware Super, you'll have access to lots of free online tools to help you, like their My Retirement Planner, which allows you to see how much you might need for retirement and comes with an easy-to-understand plan of how to get there. Read the PDS and TMD at aware.com.au. Claire, I'm notoriously bad with my plants. Ask any of my friends. And this story hasn't made me feel much better. A new study from Tel Aviv University in Israel says that thirsty, stressed, or recently trimmed plants make high-pitched airborne sounds that are like cries for help.
It really gives you another sort of look at your plant, doesn't it? Thinking that it's crying in silence, although not so much silence if you're an animal. Or if you've got the special equipment to pick it up. So what scientists have done, they've eavesdropped on tobacco and tomato plants. They place them in small boxes with microphones to pick up these ultrasonic noises. They're at frequencies that humans can't hear. And they found that these distressed plants make about 35 sounds an hour, while if you're a well-hydrated or an uncut plant, it makes just one sound an hour.
And if you're anything like me and you're wondering what exactly plants sound like, researcher Lila Cadeny says that it's not like singing, which I didn't assume it would be, but instead it's a bit like popcorn, very short clicks. So I'm grateful that we can't hear them, Claire. Yeah. It sounds a bit frustrating.
Clicks sound better than screams.
True. Squeeze the day, Claire. What have you seen that we should know about today?
Look, a way to start your week. It's World Party Day. I don't know exactly what to do with that, but Look, it might be relevant to Squeezers listening. Also, 10 a.m., maybe we can get into the vibe. It's the 2023 Country Music Awards from Nashville. So, yeah, could combine the two, maybe.
Nothing like a bit of banjo to get me in a party mood, Claire. Have a great Monday, and we'll be back again tomorrow.
G'day, I'm Kate Watson, co-host of News Club. News Club this week was an interview with Lauren Sams. She's the fashion editor at the Australian Financial Review. She's all over the business of fashion and retail, so I pulled her in to talk to us about fast fashion and ultra fast fashion. In particular, businesses like Temu and Shein, who in Australia alone are on track to record more than $2 billion in sales. Here's a clip from that conversation.
What is happening is that it's recalibrating fashion as a single-use item. Mm. So when you think about something that's $6 or $7, you know, I bought coffee this morning and that was $5.50. And that's a single-use item to me. You know, I have my coffee.
Like actually is, like you cannot use that twice.
No. And so when you're talking about a dress yeah. that's sort of an equivalent price, people equate it with something that doesn't need to be valued. You don't need to wear it again.
To listen to the full interview, just search for News Club in your podcast app and hit follow.